Last week, we explored together the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah to settle the land of Israel, to dwell in the land of Israel, to live in Israel, to make aliyah. This morning, I'd like to explore together with you a related question. Is it permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael? It's often related that the Lubavitcher Rebbe didn't come to Eretz Yisrael because he was concerned about the prohibition to leave Eretz Yisrael. Some of his Hasidim say that had he come to Eretz Yisrael, he would have had to reveal himself as Mashiach. That I don't know. But there is a question if it's permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael. And as we'll see, according to the Rambam, it's prohibited for one to leave. Here, we'll come back to this, but take a look at source number 9. The Rambam writes in the 5th chapter of Hilchot Melachim, Asur latzeit me'eretz Yisrael lechutz la'aretz le'olam. It's prohibited for an individual to leave the land of Israel to chutz la'aretz le'olam, forever. Meaning there's a constant prohibition that applies at all times. And then the Rambam continues, as we'll see shortly, with some exceptions. But as we'll ask this morning, what is the source of the Rambam? It would appear that the Rambam's source isn't so clear. And the Rambam would seem to, let's say, draw on a number of different passages in the Gemara and the Talmud. And so we'll take a look at some of them together this morning. Take a look at source number 1 first. This is a Gemara in Gittin and Daf Ayin Vav. Now, the Mishnah there discusses what is the din if someone tells his wife, here is your get, here is a gitech, im lo bati mikan ad 30 yom. If I don't return within 30 days, vaya olech lemedinat hayam, vigia la'ako, vechazar, batel tna'o. So then the Mishnah continues, and he goes abroad, overseas, and then he reaches Akko and returns, and so the Mishnah and the Gemara discuss the status of that divorce in such a case. But here, where I've underlined, this really concerns us this morning. So the Gemara wants to know if Akko is indeed part of Eretz Yisrael, or if Akko is considered Chutz La'aretz, if it's considered Medinat Hayam. Okay, so look where I've underlined. V'amar Rav Safra, ki havu miftirei Rabbanan mehadadi. When the sages would depart or take leave from one another, when they would say goodbye to one another, be'ako havu miftiri, they would do so in Akko. Meaning, when the Chachmei Bavel would return to Bavel, or whether the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael were traveling to Bavel, whatever, they would do it in Akko. Why would they say goodbye in Akko? Mishum da'asur latzeit me'aretz l'chutz la'aretz, because it is prohibited to leave the land of Israel and go abroad. Okay, so the Gemara just, you know, brings that as an aside almost to try and explain whether Akko is part of Eretz Yisrael or whether it's one of the Medinot Hayam. That's the interest of the Gemara here. But you see, it would seem that it's prohibited to leave because they're saying they would say goodbye to those returning to Bavel, let's say, or going wherever they were going at the time. You know, Akko was a port city. So more than likely, they were traveling by boat. They were traveling by sea. They weren't going to Bavel. So maybe that's not a great example. But those traveling abroad by boat, right? I don't know, maybe they were going to, they were going maybe up north or something via the coast or crossing the Mediterranean. But those who wished them off, they would do so in Akko, which is still part of Eretz Israel, because they did not want to leave Eretz Israel. So the question is, what is this Gemara saying here? It would seem that this Gemara here in Gittin and Daf Ayin Vav suggests that it's prohibited to leave Eretz Israel. That's what it says, Befeirush. Okay? But we'll ask the question, what is the intent of the Gemara? Does it really mean that it's prohibited to leave, even for a short time? Or perhaps the prohibition is only to leave with the intent of remaining in Chutz La'aretz. Okay, that's the question. And then also, is this really a prohibition that's binding on everyone? Okay, and if you take a look here at source number 3, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Yud Gimel discusses, cites a Braita, which discusses how a Kohen is prohibited from leaving Eretz Yisrael because of Tumah. Tumat Eretz Ha'amamin. The sages proclaimed a certain type of impurity on all of Chutz La'aretz. The Rambam, in his Perush HaMishnah to Masechet Ohalot, explains because the Gentiles were not careful to mark their graves. And so therefore, all of Chutz La'aretz has the status of a Tumat Dirabanan, a rabbinic impurity, just like a Beit HaPras. The Gemara here will explain that a Beit HaPras it's a field of graves, like a cemetery that's been plowed under, and there's a real concern that there are human remains there. And so, just like a Kohen is rabbinically prohibited from entering a Beit HaPras, so too he's prohibited from leaving the land of Israel. But there are some exceptions. Now, this is a very important passage because it would seem that the Rambam takes this passage, which at face value applies to Kohanim, and the Rambam applies it more broadly and applies it to everyone. And the exceptions the Rambam will see in a few moments applies these exceptions to everyone. So the Rambam writes, "Imaya kohen, if the individual is a kohen, mitamei bechutz la'aretz ladun ule'arer imahem." There are certain exceptions that allow him to leave and go to chutz la'aretz. For instance, if he's involved in some sort of case, some sort of court case with Gentiles, or also to appeal a case. Okay, in such a case, he's allowed to. Kishem she mitamei bechutz la'aretz, kach mitamei b'beit ha'kvarot. Right, and so too, just like, as I said, this is a tumah derabanan, he's allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael, to be involved in a court case, to be involved in a dispute with Gentiles, to appeal a ruling or something. Okay, so he's similarly allowed to go into a Beit HaKvarot. And so the Gemara asks, is that possible? But Beit HaKvarot is that's prohibited by the Torah. Beit HaKvarot salka datach tuma deoraitahi. No. So the Gemara clarifies. Ela Beit HaPras derabanan. As I explained, we allow him to enter into a Beit HaPras. This is not a cemetery. This is not a Beit HaKvarot. We're not telling him he's allowed to become a mitameh. He's allowed maybe tameh himself to become tameh. No. This is a tumah derabanan, a rabbinic type of tumah that they imposed on this potter's field, let's call it, this Beit HaPras, where the status is questionable, an area that was plowed under and is presumed to have human remains. So that's prohibited by rabbinic law, just like entering Chutz La'aretz. So you see there are certain dispensations. And then the Gemara continues, or the Braita here, that the Gemara cites, continues with other dispensations which allow a Kohen to leave Eretz Yisrael, or to make himself Tamei with this Tum'ad Rabbanan, which the rabbis proclaimed on all of Chutz La'aretz. Umetamei l'ilmot Torah l'isa isha. He's prohibited to leave in order to study Torah or to get married. Okay? Amar Rabbi Yehuda ematai bizman she'ein motzei l'ilmot. Aval bizman she'motzei l'ilmot, ein umetamei. So Rabbi Yehuda limits this. He says that's only when he can't find a good place to study Torah in Israel. However, if he has a place, plenty of yeshivot here today, right, in Eretz Yisrael, so we don't allow him to leave in such a case. However, Rabbi Yossi comes along and says, no, even if he can find a good yeshiva here in Eretz Yisrael, right, we allow him to leave. Yitameh, we allow him to become impure, meaning to go to Chutz La'aretz, again, which has this status of a Tumah Derabanan. The Tumat Eretz Amim in Chutz La'aretz, it's considered this as this impure status, which is a Tumat Derabanan, which the rabbis imposed. We allow him, even if there are plenty of yeshivot, why? Lefi she'en adam zocheh l'lmod mikol. Because, you know what? Not everyone merits to learn from everyone. Meaning, you know, just because there are plenty of yeshivot here doesn't mean that you're going to succeed in that yeshiva. Or doesn't mean that you're going to succeed with that rabbi. Maybe you have a Rebbe in Chutz La'aretz, or maybe you'll learn better in Chutz La'aretz. Okay? So this is an important source because we'll see how the Rambam extends this and how the Rambam really draws on this source and extends the prohibition to not just Kohanim, but anyone, and will use these dispensations. You know, he'll say that no one is allowed to leave except to study Torah or to get married, etc. So, but really, it's a question on the Rambam, as we'll see, because this source refers to Kohanim. It's talking about Tumat Derabanan, Tumat Eretz Ha'amamin. Okay, so it's a real question on the Rambam. And then Tosfos mentions something here that he's allowed, which also we'll come back to, that he's allowed to leave, the Kohen is allowed to leave with the intent of returning. Meaning that the dispensation to leave, to go and get married or to study Torah, that is assuming he's going to come back. And we'll see there are those who believe that the prohibition to leave Eretz Israel is only in a case where a person intends to leave and permanently reside abroad. Okay? But take a look at source number 6. This is another source which would seem to suggest that it is prohibited to leave Eretz Israel. Here is a source from Ktubot, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. Okay? Here the Gemara, at the very end of Masechet Ketubot, as we saw last week and discussed at length last week, discusses the importance of living in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we saw certain sections, certain passages from that Gemara at the very end of Masechet Ketubot. So here in that context, the Gemara relates the following. Hahu Gavra, there was an individual, Dinafla Leivama, and he had a brother who passed away, right? And what happened? The guy's brother died, and he's supposed to marry. He's supposed to marry this woman, this Yivama, right, to fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum. So, but the Yibum, right? The Yibum here in such a case is where he would have to travel. He would have to go to Beit Chazoa. Okay, Ha'u Gavra Dinafla Leivama, Beit Chazoa. He would have to go to this place, Beit Chazoa. So Ata Lekamei Derbi Chanina. So he goes and asks a Shaila, Derbi Chanina. Amar Leimau Lemechat V'Liyabma. What should I do? What's the halacha? Should I leave Eretz Yisrael? The implication is that the individual is living in Eretz Yisrael. His brother was living with this woman in Bavel, in Bei Chazoa, okay, the house of Chazoa, wherever this place is, okay? But it would require him to leave Eretz Yisrael to marry her. Now, there's a mitzvah mina Torah of Yibum. But it would require him to leave Eretz Yisrael. So he came and asked Rabbi Chanina. And listen to Rabbi Chanina's answer. This is very telling. This is incredible. Amar Le, he said to him, Achiv nasa kutit umet. Your brother married a kutit and died. Now, it's interesting that Rabbi Chanina calls the woman a kutit. Right? Kutit sometimes refer to the givonim. Kutit can be different questions, different who the kutim are. Okay, they're people that converted to Judaism, but their conversion is suspect. The Gemara uses the word kuti in a number of places sometimes to refer to an idolater or a non-Jew or someone whose status is questionable, maybe the Samaritans. Sometimes it was used to kind of get past the censors. But in this context, if she was indeed a kutit, so then there would be no requirement in Yibum. Now, there is a point where the Chachamim debate the status of a kuti, and what if a man marries a kutit? Okay, is the Kiddushin Tovsin, is this woman considered Jewish? Okay, well, there was a point where it was in question. But then the Chachamim came along and they declared that Kutim are not Jews. But there was a point, it's sugya in a number of places in the Gemara about the Kutim. But that's not what Rabbi Chanina means here. He's not referring to her as a technical Kutit. In this case, there would be no Yibum unless she was a Jewish woman. He's just calling her a kutit. Okay? So he says the following. Your brother married a kutit, meaning he married someone in Chutz La'aretz, and then he died. Okay? Boruch HaMakom Shaharago. Blessed is the place, or maybe it's a reference to Hashem. Blessed is HaMakom, like HaMakom Yenachem Etchem. Sometimes Hamakom can mean Hashem. He's like, Baruch Hashem, that you know, either blessed is the place, meaning Bavel, that killed him, or maybe blessed is Hamakom, Hashem, who killed him, seemingly for the sin of leaving Eretz Yisrael. Vehu yered acharav. And what? You want to follow him? The brother should go and descend after him from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz? So we have to take this answer of Rabbi Chanina with a grain of salt. Dibru chachamim belashon guzma. After all, often our sages speak in exaggerations or exaggerated tones, but certainly what Rabbi Chanina is saying is that you should not go and leave Eretz Yisrael for Bavel. He's trying to dissuade the individual. And what he is doing is incriminating the brother for having left Eretz Yisrael for Bavel. Okay, but again, what is the intent of this Gemara, and how seriously do we have to take it? Does this Gemara imply that there is a prohibition on everyone to leave Eretz Yisrael, or is the prohibition limited to Kohanim, with certain exceptions? And then we have another passage here in source number 7. This is, and 7 and 8 really, this is a Gemara in Bava Batra and Daf Tzadi Aleph, Amud Bet, which discusses under which conditions someone may leave Eretz Yisrael. If the price of grain goes up and doubles, okay, under what conditions? If there's no food or it's too expensive, all right? And then it's interesting, the Gemara then continues and criticizes the choice of Elimelech and his sons Machlon v'Chilion for leaving Eretz Yisrael. You know, at the very beginning of Megillat Rut, describes how Elimelech and his two sons Machlon v'Chilion left Eretz Yisrael. There was a Ra'av Ba'aretz. Now, what did they do wrong? The Gemara here says that, yes, if there is a famine in the land, if food is so expensive that you can't survive under those conditions, the Gemara says it's permitted to leave the land of Israel. So what did they do wrong? And here the Gemara seems to condemn them. Okay? Now it's interesting, you know, how does Megillat Rut begin? Vayihi bimei shvot ha-shoftim. The judges were being judged, and it was in the days when the judges were being judged. You see, already the beginning implies there was some corruption. Vayihi, the word itself implies something negative. And then you have this Ish. The Megillah refers to him as an Ish. Ish always suggests a man of prominence. Vayelech Ish mi Beit Lechem. A man from Beit Lechem comes with his wife and his children to Moab. Ultimately, his sons intermarry. They marry Moabite women. That's what happens, right? In Chutz La'aretz, that's the sin of the exile, as Ezra and Nehemiah call it. It was rampant then, and rampant today, unfortunately. And even their names, Machlon v'Chilion, I mean, cholera and dysentery. I mean, it would be like naming someone today Corona, right? So, and as you all know, the names in Megillat Rut are tremendously important. We darshan those names. In any case, the Gemara here criticizes them for leaving. Why? Because they were gdolei hador hayu uparnasei hador. Even though under certain circumstances it's permissible to leave Eretz Yisrael, when things become so expensive, when grain is too expensive, or there's so much inflation. Okay, and you don't have any money. Mark defines exactly, you know, what it means. Im kein amdu sa'atayim besela, right? Or sa besela, you know, but you can't even find any food. Okay, so all sorts of questions when it's permitted to leave, but the Gemara criticizes them for leaving because they were the Parnasei Hador. They were the leaders of their generation. They should have stuck it out. All right? But it would seem to suggest that what? That all else being equal, if they were not the Manhige Hador, the Gdolei Hador, if they were not the Parnasei Hador, then in such a case, they would be permitted to leave because, again, there was a famine in the land. And when there's a famine in the land, right, the Gemara says that under certain circumstances, it's permitted to leave. That's a Gemara in Bava Batra and Daf Tzadi Aleph Amud Bet, Amud Aleph Amud Bet. Okay. So we saw a number of prohibitions which would seem to apply to everyone, passages in the Gemara which at first glance seem to suggest it's prohibited to leave Eretz Yisrael for Chutz Laaretz. And then there was a passage in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah which seems to limit that to Kohanim. One more passage we'll take a look at together from the Gemara, and then we'll look at the Rambam and try to put this all together. If you turn the page to the top of side 2, here's the Gemara in source number 11 from Moed Katan and Daf Yudalit. So the Mishnah there at the very beginning of the third perek of Moed Katan, perek Elu Megalchin, says that it's prohibited, or the implication of the Mishnah is that it's prohibited to take haircuts or shave on Chol HaMoed. Why? Why did the rabbis prohibit one from taking haircuts or shaving on Chol HaMoed? Kidei shelo yikansu laregel kishehein menuvalim. The rabbis didn't want you to come into the Yontif in a state of disarray where you're not put together. You're menuvalim. In a state of disarray, you're untidy, unkempt. That's the word I was looking for, unkempt. In other words, they were only afraid that if you were allowed to get a haircut or shave on Chol HaMoed, so what? Well, everyone would save it for Chol HaMoed, right? In other words, if I could do it on Chol HaMoed, I'll do it on Chol HaMoed. But no, they didn't want you to enter into the first day of Yom Tov. Yom Tov begins, and then you're in a state of menuvalin. You're unkempt. Not nice. Not nice to Yom Tov. Okay? I'll take a haircut, shave on Chol. No. You got to take a haircut and shave before. So the Chachamim prohibited taking haircuts or shaving on Chol HaMoed, lest someone say, I'm going to wait until Chol HaMoed. Okay? And therefore, they required that people take haircuts and shave before Yom Tov. However, there are certain dispensations, and that is the Mishnah at the beginning of the third perek of Moed Katan. Ve'elu migalchim b'moed, haba mibindinat hayam, u'mibet ha'shviya, someone who arrives from travel overseas, or gets out of prison, and other, it was being held captive, ayotzi mibet ha'asur, and gets out of prison, etc., etc. There are other dispensations that the Mishnah includes. So, the Gemara here, in source number 11, deals with this dispensation of returning from abroad, a trip abroad, maybe dinat hayam. Matnitin delok Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, well, this is not in accord. The Mishnah that we just mentioned is not in accord with Rabbi Yehuda. Ditan Rabbi Yehuda omer habam midinat hayam lo yigaleach mipnei sheyatza shelo bereshut. Rabbi Yehuda says that someone who comes from a trip abroad and returns, he is not permitted to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Why? Because he left without reshut. Mipnei sheyatza shelo bereshut. He left in an impermissible way. It was prohibited for him to leave. What does that mean? Is that to imply that one is not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael? Maybe, we'll see. Amar Rava, Rava said, lashut. Divrei hakol asur. That both according to the Chachamim, who allow one returning from abroad to get a haircut, and Rabbi Yehuda, who says, no, he's not allowed, because he went against the Chachamim. Mipnei sheyatza shelo bereshut. But according to Rava, if it's lashut, if it's to go and travel for pleasure, right? Like a shayit, like a go on a boat, a raft. If he's just going to travel abroad for, pleasure, to take a trip, to enjoy, look at Rashi. There's no need. He left without a need. It wasn't like it was for business or something. He only went to go see the world. Okay? So in that case, Rava says that if a person was just taking a trip, everyone agrees. Even the Chachamim, who allow someone returning from abroad to get a haircut, but in such a case, if he was just traveling for pleasure, okay, he was taking a pleasure trip, so then in such a case, even the Chachamim would say he can't get a haircut, right? They penalize him in such a case. However, lemizonot, if it's for food, for parnasa, meaning if he has to travel for business, divrei hakol mutar. According to Rava, then even Rabbi Yehuda allows him to get a haircut, and he says lo nechleku ela laharvicha. You know where the argument? You know what the argument is? You know what the argument's about? Their point of contention is with regards to when you're going to make additional money. Rava says that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, he'd be allowed to travel if it's to sustain himself or his family. But if he has plenty of money and is just doing it for additional wealth, right? Additional, income. So in that case, then that would be prohibited. Okay? That's what we're talking about here. All right? So it's interesting, what's the reason why the Chachamim prohibited one to travel abroad according to Rabbi Yehuda, where he's doing something wrong, right? And when Rava says that everyone agrees that if it's for pleasure, right, even the Chachamim, he wouldn't be able to get a haircut. So here in source number 13, I put the Rosh, who cites the Ravid, who says that this whole machloket is with regards to traveling abroad, because that's what's prohibited here. In other words, what's the prohibition here? Why did the Chachamim penalize someone for traveling abroad? And they say that you return and you can't get a haircut. We're talking about dafka, someone who leaves Eretz Yisrael. And the reason why we penalize him and don't allow him to get a haircut or shave on Chol HaMoed, if he returns on Chol HaMoed from abroad, it's because he's violated this prohibition of leaving Eretz Yisrael for Chutz La'aretz. That's how the Ravid understands this sugya. And that's here how the Shulchan Aruch paskins as well. However, there are certain dispensations. See, if you look at source number 18, and many draw on this to say, here, you see from this Gemara and this passage in the Shulchan Aruch that it's prohibited to leave Eretz Yisrael. The Shulchan Aruch writes, V'chein haba midinat hayam b'chol HaMoed, o sheba be'erev haregel v'lo yashuhut b'yom legaleach, v'u shelo yatsa me'eretz Yisrael l'chutz la'aretz l'tayel. Right? A person, as we said, as the Mishnah teaches, may get a haircut or shave on Chol HaMoed if he returns from a trip abroad. Okay, or if he didn't have, he returned, the Shulchan Aruch says, right before Yontif. Either he returned on Chol HaMoed itself, or he returned right before Yom Tov and didn't have an opportunity to get a haircut or shave previously. So in such a case, we allow him on Chol HaMoed to take a haircut or shave, a special dispensation. However, v'hu shelo yatsa me'eretz Yisrael l'chutz la'aretz l'tayel. That assumes that he's not left Eretz Yisrael just to take a trip abroad. Okay? And we'll see, however, if it was to fulfill a mitzvah, in that case it's also permitted for him to take a haircut or shave. The Magen Avram there says, Aval yatsa l'arviach olirot p'nei chaveiro shari d'mikre mitzvah. If it was, as we said in the Gemara, to travel, to sustain himself, to make parnasa for his family, so in such a case, it's permitted for him to take a haircut or shave on Chol HaMoed. And similarly, if it's to see a friend, that's also called a mitzvah, right? Okay. So we'll come back to this in a moment. So we saw a number of passages in the Gemara, which Lichora suggests that it's prohibited to leave Eretz Yisrael for Chutz La'aretz. And take a look here at source number 9. The Rambam writes, in the fifth parak of Hilchot Malachim, parak Hei Halacha Tet, Asur Latzit Me'eretz Yisrael L'Chutz La'aretz Le'olam. It's always prohibited for one to leave Eretz Yisrael for Chutz La'aretz. Okay, that prohibition is at all times, Le'olam. Ella, however, there are certain exceptions to the rule, l'lmod Torah, o lisa isha, o lahatzil min ha'akum. If it's to learn Torah, as we explained, or to get married, or lahatzil min ha'akum, if the security situation in the land of Israel is such that in order to save himself, he has to leave and run away. However, v'yachzor la'aretz, right? That's assuming, though, that he come back. Now, it's interesting, the Rambam, it would seem, begins by citing this Gemara in Avodah Zarah, where it's prohibited to leave except to learn Torah and to marry a woman. But that was with regards to a Kohen. So it's interesting how the Rambam, you know, views all of these different passages in the Gemara and would seem to conflate them, for lack of a better word, to kind of, he draws on all of them and synthesizes them all. Okay? But that was about a Kohen. It wasn't clear that prohibition applies to everyone. A Kohen is prohibited to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Chutz La'aretz because Tumat Eretz Amim. By the way, it's all a question whether nowadays that applies to Kohanim as well, or whether that's only at a time when there's a Beit HaMikdash, and a Kohen has to remain pure. Shemi Abana Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash could be built at any moment, and he'll have to serve, right? But since nowadays we don't have a Beit HaMikdash, and it's not clear which Mishmar he belongs to, when his turn will be exactly. So the Poskim say, so nowadays, maybe this prohibition doesn't apply. However, there are contemporary Poskim say that, no, this prohibition applies to Kohanim even nowadays. They shouldn't leave unless it's Lidvar Mitzvah, unless it's for the sake of a Mitzvah. Okay, so what's called a mitzvah? Okay, we'll maybe touch on that. But in any case, the Rambam, again, applies that Gemara, it would seem, more broadly to say that this prohibition applies to everyone because he takes all of these different passages in the Gemara together. V'chein yotzehu lischora. Similarly, it's permitted to leave in order to do business, as we explained, as we saw, right? The Gemara there in Moed Katan. Aval ishkon b'chutz la'aretz asur. But to live there permanently, that is prohibited. So there are certain exceptions to the rule, the Rambam writes. If it's to study Torah, or to get married, or to save oneself from the Gentiles because of the security situation, or to do business abroad, okay? But then when it's permitted, when it's feasible, when it's practical, he should return. I mean, this dispensation is not for your entire lifespan. Now, by the way, where did the Rambam live? It's interesting. The Rambam says it's prohibited to leave Eretz Israel for Chutz La'aretz, but where did he himself live? He lived in Egypt. Right? Now, so obviously, he felt he could not live in Eretz Israel, either because it would be too difficult to make a parnassa there, or because he was busy teaching Torah abroad, okay, or because maybe the security situation at the time in Eretz Israel did not allow him. He was in Israel, at least one point in his life. So, but in any case, the Rambam, by the way, as we saw a number of months ago before Pesach, the Rambam also writes that it's prohibited to return to Egypt. And again, the Rambam himself lived where? In Egypt. So again, there are those who explain that that's only when you move to Egypt with the intent to reside there permanently. It's possible that the Rambam all along had the intent and hope and dream to return to Eretz Yisrael when it would be possible for him to do so. Okay? So then, again, the Rambam, he conflates all of these different passages in the Gemara and synthesizes them, brings them all together, and then he writes, it's prohibited to live in Chutz La'aretz unless there's a famine in the land, right? Ela im kein chazak sham harav ad shenaseh shavet dinar chitin b'shnei dinarin. You know, there's a lot of inflation or the food is not available. There's a famine in the land. That's the Gemara in Bava Batra that we mentioned. Okay. So the Rambam, it would seem, prohibits one from living in Chutz La'aretz and leaving Eretz Yisrael for Chutz La'aretz unless he has a good reason. Okay, and there are many who rule like the Rambam and understand all of these passages in the Gemara that we saw together this morning to imply that there is a prohibition to leave Eretz Yisrael for Chutz La'aretz. Now, what is the nature of this prohibition? Somebody explain that, you know, even if you say, we'll return to this in a few moments, that the nature of the prohibition, or that the prohibition to leave Eretz Yisrael stems from the obligation to live in Eretz Yisrael, as we explored last week, where according to the Ramban and many other poskim, there is a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael that applies at all times to each and every individual. So even if you say that the prohibition to leave Eretz Yisrael stems from the obligation to live in Eretz Yisrael, nevertheless, according to most, this prohibition is only rabbinic. And that's important because there are those who are mekil, okay? But the Maharit, he has a completely different reading of all of these passages. The Maharit understands, for instance, this prohibition to leave Eretz Yisrael only to apply to Kohanim, as the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, here in source number 3, says explicitly, and then gives certain exceptions to the rule, or exemptions. where a Kohen may leave. And so what about all these other passages which suggest that you should not leave Eretz Yisrael? So the Maharid explains that the prohibition in leaving the land of Israel is only if the intent is to settle permanently in Chutz La'aretz. But if one is going to visit, to travel, according to the Maharid, you don't need a het there. You don't need an exemption, right? If the intent is just to go, to visit, to travel, and then with the intent to return, that's fine. Even if one goes for a period of time to do business, you know, back in the day, people would travel abroad. You know, you never knew when they would come home, right? They could be abroad for years at a time. So again, so long one does not intend to settle permanently in Chutz La'aretz, according to the Maharid, there is no prohibition whatsoever. So how does the Maharid and others who suggest that the prohibition in leaving Eretz Yisrael is only ach verak with the intent to settle permanently in Chutz La'aretz, how do they reconcile this with all these different passages that we saw this morning, which seem to suggest that it's prohibited to leave Eretz Yisrael? You know what they say? When the Chachamim, for instance, the Gemara that we began with in Gittin, when the Chachamim would say goodbye in Akko because they didn't want to leave Eretz Yisrael, right? Because they believed it was asur. According to this view, that's a midat chasidut. That is an act of piety. That the sages themselves were strict. The sages themselves didn't want to leave. But they did not impose that on others. Again, according to the Maharit, the isur is only to leave Eretz Yisrael with the explicit intent of not returning. But if a person leaves for whatever reason, either a short trip or a longer business excursion, with the intent to ultimately return, even if he's going to live abroad, whether it's to marry a woman, whether it's for partner, whatever it is, but with the intent ultimately to return, he's not in violation of this prohibition to leave Eretz Yisrael. So what about all these different passages that we saw? You know, the Gemara in Gittin and Ketubot and Bava Batra and here in Moed Katan. No. They would explain either that's because they had an intent to leave permanently, and that's why the Gemara suggests that it's prohibited, because those the Gemara is referring to, they were going to leave permanently, or perhaps, no, it's just some sort of midat chassidut. The Gemara is speaking in what you might say, ex cathedra, in an extra legal way. Not halacha, but it's an act of piety. It's a midat chassidut. And the Chachamim were strict with themselves, but they never imposed that on others. And so based on this view, many poskim are lenient with regards to visits abroad. Okay, certainly if it's just a trip. However, if you take a look here at source number 20, this is a tshuva of Rav Avadya Yosef, where he's asked, "Ta'im mutar l'toshav Eretz Yisrael l'tzit l'chutz l'aretz l'schora o l'tiyul al menat l'chzor achar kach l'Eretz Yisrael?" Is it permitted for a resident of the land of Israel to leave Israel for business purposes or for just a pleasure trip with the intent of returning? Right. And so, take a look at what he writes, Kedarka Bakodesh. It's a lengthy tshuva. I just excerpted here the very end. He writes, "Besikum, in sum, mutar latzit meretz Yisrael l'chutz la'aretz letzorech parnasa l'ischora, ubilvad she al minat lachzor la'aretz behekdem." Here, the Yechavedat, Rav Avadya Yosef, takes the stringent view. He adopts the view of the Rambam that it's prohibited to leave Eretz Yisrael with the exception of doing business, okay, and with the intent to return, but with the intent to live there permanently, that's prohibited. And just stam to go on a tiyul, Rav Avadya is machmir. Again, like the Rambam, Rav Avadya is machmir and says to just go on a trip abroad, a pleasure trip, that's not permissible because it's prohibited to leave Eretz Yisrael, unless you have a good reason. One of the reasons we explained. One of the reasons we saw. Umutar letzeit l'chutz la'aretz l'lmod Torah. However, again, it's permitted to leave in order to study Torah, v'lisa isha, or to get married, al menat lachzor l'Yisrael. But again, as the Rambam writes, ultimately with the intent to return. V'chein mutar letzeit b'shlichut amozdot harishmiim be'eretz Yisrael. But you can also go on shlichut. You can go on shlichut, you know. Bnei Akiva doesn't mention Bnei Akiva, doesn't mention, you know, Mizrahi, whatever. But you can go on Shlichut. Why? L'lamed Torah l'Bnei Yisrael begola. In order to teach Torah to Jews in the diaspora, ulchaskam betorah biyirat Hashem, and to strengthen them in Torah and in the fear of God. Okay, but barring that, Rav Avadia says it's prohibited to leave Eretz Yisrael to just stam go on a pleasure trip abroad. Okay, now we said we extend this also to other, even according to the stringent view, those poskim that are machmir like the Rambam, they do allow, for instance, leaving Eretz Yisrael for other mitzvot. Not only the mitzvot that are mentioned in the Gemara or in the Rambam, but as we saw in the Magen Avram, if it's, you know, to see a friend, because the Rama calls that a mitzvah. Post can deal with the question of kibud horim. What if a person's parents live abroad? So in that case, that's also called a mitzvah, which would therefore allow one to leave Eretz Yisrael. What about visiting kivrei tzaddikim? So this is a big question, right? Is that called a mitzvah? So the Sdei Chemed and the Shari Tshuva consider davening at kivrei tzaddikim to be a mitzvah that justifies leaving the land of Israel. But the Pitchei Tshuva rules, no, that's not called a mitzvah. And Rav Kook has a tshuva in Mishpat Kohen, where he writes that it's not proper to leave Eretz Yisrael to visit the graves of tzaddikim abroad. You know, now it's become very popular. Well, the fact that, you know, the Soviet Union is open and travel to Europe is cheap from Israel. So you have all these people and Hasidim and students going for the different Yuritz sites of the different Rebbes, Hasidish Rebbes, to all these little shtetlach, all these little towns in Poland, right? So is that permitted? So Rav Kook was asked about this in his day, and he writes, no, it's not proper to leave the land of Israel to visit Kivrei Tzadikim. And he asked, are not the Tzadikim of Eretz Yisrael much greater? How can you even compare them? How can you even suggest that it's a mitzvah to leave Eretz Yisrael for Chutz La'aretz for this purpose? And it's an incredible tshuva, where he deals with this very question. He says, no, you know, by the fact that they lived and were buried in Etzion, we have many passages which suggest the tremendous merit of being buried in Eretz Yisrael, and it's like a Mizbeach Kapara. And yes, while it would seem that sometimes the Chachamim are critical of those who lived abroad and just come to Eretz Yisrael to be buried, right? To die here, to be buried here, and in the language of Chazal, to make the land impure, to defile the soil, and to come in their death. But nevertheless, we assume it's still a tremendous zchut to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, even if you lived your entire life abroad. So Rav Kook asks, you want to leave Eretz Yisrael and visit the graves of tzaddikim abroad? What about the graves of the tzaddikim in Eretz Yisrael? Okay. And, you know, there's certainly many great tzaddikim buried here in Eretz Yisrael. There's a famous story about Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. It's only tangentially related to our question, but Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was asked by a Talmud if it's permitted to travel even in Eretz Yisrael to the Kivrei Tzadikim up north, right, to the Mekomot HaKadoshim. He wanted to go to Tzfat, Meron, Tveria, that whole area to go daven by the many Tzadikim buried there. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach famously answered, what, you have to travel all the way up north to daven by the graves of tzaddikim? He says, whenever I feel like davening by the graves of tzaddikim, I go here to Har Herzl, to the military cemetery, to daven by the graves of these incredible tzaddikim who gave their lives for Eretz Yisrael. Okay, incredible story. But there are poskim that are machmir and say, no, it's only for business, to get married, to study Torah, or some other mitzvah, whether you consider visiting Kivrei Tzadikim a mitzvah, certainly visiting your parents abroad is called a mitzvah. Rav Lichtenstein ruled that travel abroad to expand one's vistas and horizons, that's also called a mitzvah. Okay? Again, there are poskim that are lenient and allow even trips abroad for pleasure, vacation. Right now is the summer, people are traveling already. So, even to go and enjoy oneself and to see new things, for Rav Lichtenstein, to see the world, to expand one's vistas and horizons, that's also called a mitzvah. It reminds me of the story of Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, who once traveled to the Alps. And his Talmidim asked, why are you traveling to the Alps, right? And he said, you know, after 120 years, I'm going to leave this world, I'm going to go up to heaven, and God's going to ask me. I'm going to go to the Beit Din Shalmaila, the Pamalia Shalmaila, Beit Din Shalmaila. And God's going to ask me, Shamshon, have you seen my Alps? Right? This Shimshon here has seen the Alps, Baruch Hashem. I saw them from a distance, so I didn't actually go to the Alps. But when I'd been to Switzerland, I was once in Zurich, and I took a train about about 30, 40 minutes outside of Zurich, and I went up to some other summit, and from there I could see the Alps. So, Shimshon, have you seen my Alps? Yes, I have. Some of the poskim question whether it's permitted even to travel to Eilat, right? Is Eilat considered Eretz Yisrael? Or maybe it's not. Doesn't have Kedushat Eretz Yisrael. There's a whole discussion about Trumot, Masot, Shemitah over there, certain parts of Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Gorin, in his Sefer Mishnat Medina, he writes that no, even according to the Machmirim that say you can't leave Eretz Yisrael, right, unless you have a good reason for it, but Eilat is considered Eretz Yisrael, at least for this discussion here, for these purposes here. Why? Because Bnei Yisrael traveled from Eretz Mitzrayim through Eilat to get to Eretz Yisrael, and so there was some sort of kibush according to Rav Gorin, and then later he writes, Shlomo HaMelech conquered that area. Okay, so even though it may not have Kedushat Eretz Yisrael, at least with regards to this question, it's called Eretz Yisrael. And so even according to the Machmirim, who say you're not supposed to leave Eretz Yisrael just to go on a pleasure trip, but they would allow you to go to Eilat. Now, what's the reason for the prohibition? We'll end with this. According to the Ramban, the prohibition is based on the mitzvah which we explored last week, the mitzvah to settle the land of Israel, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The Lechem Mishneh, in his comments on the Rambam, explains that the prohibition stems from the inherent holiness of the land, the Kedushat Haaretz. The Rashbam, in his comments to Bava Batra, explains that it's prohibited to leave Eretz Yisrael because when one leaves Eretz Yisrael, he exempts himself from so many of the mitzvot, Hatliot Ba'aretz, so many of the mitzvot that are intimately tied to the land of Israel. Okay? As we explained last week, or mentioned last week, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu is davening and pleading with God and petitioning Hashem to allow him to enter into Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara in Sot explains so that he could perform all of these mitzvot that can only be performed on her soil. So according to the Rashbam, it's prohibited to leave Eretz Yisrael. Why? Why did the sages prohibit one? Because when you leave, you exempt yourself from all these mitzvot which can only be applied here in the land. Okay? So I think we have to appreciate what we have, this tremendous gift, even if you want to leave on a pleasure trip and take a vacation and follow the many poskim who allow one to leave Eretz Israel, even for pleasure trips. But, you know, before we board our flights abroad to North America or the UK or Europe, we have to first appreciate what we have. Hashem has given us this incredible gift. And I'll say thank you and take any questions.